Mel Gibson's career as a movie hunk has long been assured, but recently he began directing his own films as well. And his first movie as a director, The Man Without a Face, was something less than a resounding success. Still, if you're Mel Gibson, you get to do what you want. And now he's back with his second directorial effort, a 3-hour epic about the medieval Scottish rebel leader William Wallace. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review of Braveheart.
Sometimes there are reasons for the wonders Hollywood visits upon us, and sometimes there aren't. The reasons behind the appearance of two big movies about Scottish rebels within 3 months of each other are a case for The X-Files. But I will say this. Rob Roy bored the kilt off me. And Braveheart, even though it's nearly an hour longer, is a real rouser. The cornball Mel Gibson, who gave us The Man Without a Face 2 years ago, is still in evidence here. This movie may be based on actual events, but it's corn from start to finish. And for the first half hour, when we meet the hero William Wallace as a boy in the late 13th century and watch him grow up and romance his childhood sweetheart, the corn grows so overripe that you may feel like riding through the screen with a thresher. But once Wallace begins to fight the evil English and Scotland rallies behind him, the movie visibly grows in stature. Gibson isn't a very original director. We've seen his best tricks already in the work of Kurosawa, Peckinpah, and Kenneth Branagh. But he's very good at making all that hacking and hewing and beheading exciting. And by the time he builds up to the Battle of Stirling, at which William Wallace and a ragtag band of peasants face the combined might of the English cavalry, archers, and infantry, Gibson has developed an unstoppable head of steam. Here he is lathering up his troops before the charge.
You've come to fight as free men. Free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
There's an awful lot of pious speechifying about freedom in this movie, and Gibson and his screenwriter, named of all things Randall Wallace, lay it on thicker as the movie progresses. By the end, when they combine still more talk about freedom with a heavy-duty torture scene, you may find the masochism of it all a little sick-making. But between speeches, Braveheart really works. The Battle of Stirling is historical poppycock, but it's a magnificent scene, clearly staged and full of suspense. In fact, the movie's full of historical inaccuracies, and none of them matter. Gibson and Wallace have created a kind of Marxist view of Scottish history, in which class outweighs national solidarity, and the political twists and turns that the filmmakers have built into the plot are almost as diverting as the battle scenes. Above it all, Gibson himself rides like the road warrior in tartans, his face painted a blue that matches his eyes. Gibson's jocular, prankish acting style has always been an odd fit with his action movie heroics, but here his two halves work together seamlessly. He holds the screen like a friendlier, less forbidding Kirk Douglas or Charlton Heston. Whatever missteps Gibson may have made in recent years, Braveheart establishes him once again as a real movie star, and, for the first time, as a real movie director as well.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.